that affects my chemical body, but it also, I have to think of the effects as it bounces around all this other stuff.
Other real stuff. Other kinds of real.
I think about how hungry could I get before I would start panicking and people would be beating me up and I would be beating them up. And, you know.
No, I can't just get too hungry.
Just look at this. Lady Di. What'd you say?
I can't get too hungry. Yeah, I really don't like
you're
that.
You're going to panic pretty quickly. You're going to be the first guy to start shooting. So Robin, let's say you're Lady Diana. And you're just a little body who has to play a role with the prince and you do it. She never thought that when she would die, and when she dies, and if you survive death, she's looking at this, the whole fucking world goes in mourning. Now, you got to realize, she's a Robin. You don't expect the world to go in mourning when you die. But she's part of a whole TV landscape she probably didn't realize. And when she died, there was these effects all over the other media, and people made millions off it. They don't make millions off Robin's death. But she's an example of what we all have to deal with. Whether you're the content, the star, or the receiver. That TV landscape is there, responding to the physical death of Lady Di.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That makes the TV landscape real.
Really fucking real, yeah.
What did you just get? I blanked for a second. What did you just get, Robin?
He's saying, take for instance Lady Diana.
Yeah. Who is just another human being.
She just died, and then, like, it's all over TV, and there's this whole big media blitz, and everybody's, like, all freaking out. Oh, Lady Diana, all over the world.
Robin died. Who's Robin up in Humboldt County? Teacher of math.
That was a real landscape that activated on her death.
Yeah.
But he's saying that, I think this is what I think you're saying, is that I have that same landscape, even though it doesn't, you know, activate
you.
When I die, but that is still real. It's out there.
And you receive, and you have to deal with the TV activation. You have to deal with everybody talking about her.
Right.
What's that got to do with when you die? How?
Well, it doesn't.
Her.
It affects my life now. Yeah. I have to remember that the TV landscape is a real thing.
Right.
And it's a real thing because we can see that it's a real thing because when people like, you know, Lady Diana die, then it's all totally activated and you have to deal with it. You have to experience
that. She probably retrieved like the Mother Mary kind of sentimentality in people or something.
Well, whatever.
They made a movie of it. Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That was a movie about Lady Di. And then all the books that came out, and all the industries and the awards. And the thing is, everybody, it's affecting language, and they're talking to you about it. And you got to talk to the math kids about it in some way, whatever the schools are evoking. It's all there, and it's part of the economy. It's economics. And it's culture, it's religion, it's everything. Again, like Finnegan's Wake, it's the same fucking node with everything affected.
You see what he's saying there?
Almost. Say a little more.
The TV landscape is a real thing, and we can't forget that.
Yeah.
It's as real as your physical body.
It's as real as my physical body.
Yeah, right.
Your physical body's real. It's right to say this is fucking real, but so is the other thing that you can't touch. But it's real.
Yeah.
And then you got the chip body on top of that.
You were just invoking Lady Di, but then the content is even superficial.
There'll be another one in 2 weeks.
No, well, compared to the form of the medium, which is transmitting the content. Or no, they've in a sense merged.
The form is the body. Yeah. You need to turn on and feel the space, and it just turns out, Lady Di is the issue today.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, Britney Spears. Anybody. What's happening today?
He's just picking a character just to show, you know,
the magnification.
This is like, yeah,
and that she did not know. Her little chemical bar brain did not know any of this would happen. And imagine she dies and she's in the astral plane looking at this fucking weird reality going on about herself. No human has ever had that when they died before this century.
Well, John Lennon had a pretty strong impact.
Before this century.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, the 20th century, right over the 21st century. Yeah, I got to change that.
So we got this physical thing. It's peak oil, okay?
Yeah.
We've reached the maximum production that this world will ever produce in oil.
And we don't know whether there's a lab that has solved the problem. They invented some little thing that can make oil happen immediately. We don't know if that's been done or not, okay? Those, if you did do it, we don't know what...
But let's look at what we do know.
No, no, you don't just rely on what you do know. That's the problem here. I don't use at all what I do know. I'm looking for what I don't know. And so, what was it?
All right.
Because you don't have any confidence in what you do know?
No, it's so ephemeral.
Okay, here it is. Let's look at the effects.
Yeah.
Okay. The effects are gas is going up.
Yeah.
Natural gas is going up. Heating oil is going up. The maximum production has been reached in May 2006.
Right.
They're going for the tar sands. They have, you look at the graph of discoveries of oil fields, they peaked in 1961, and they've been discovering less and less ever since.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the effects. Looking at those effects...
that the cause? What's that an effect of?
Effects precedes causes.
Okay, but that's okay.
That's all that stuff. That's the effects that I'm like, oh, I see, I'm getting
what
that
if you
effect.
Just,
oh, I
effect.
See what you mean. Yeah,
I'm getting all these effects.
Yeah.
And now, okay, so there's this
why
thing.
Why are you so ready, like everybody else I talked to discount the possibility that ethanol and methanol, which would redistribute the production of fuel globally among introducing wealth to all countries.
Because there's not enough land to keep, to grow
on the planet?
Stuff, to, well, do you want to eat?
One of the South American countries,
South
American countries, I'm sorry, I think it's Brazil, but I'm not sure, totally energy independent, they're growing sugar cane, and they're just barely tapping the surface of the possibilities for creating ethanol methanol.
Okay, well, are they good?
Ethanol methanol can be created from recycled garbage. It can be created from coal in certain parts of Europe where they have huge coal reserves. It can be created from all kinds of biomass, from hemp to wheat to corn. It can be grown globally around the world. Every country can be contributing small crops to the production of ethanol, methanol, and thus enriching their own wealth.
Okay, there's
putting refineries locally.
There's energy density, though. Oil has the highest energy density of any of those.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
you described.
I think it does take a little more than a gallon to get a gallon's worth of gasoline in terms of energy out of your car.
I mean, and okay, you keep bringing up Brazil with the sugar cane. That's better than corn. That's like, you use corn is like stupid because you have to use actually like so much petroleum to grow the corn. It's like ridiculous. So
why do you need petroleum to grow corn?
Well, you have,
I mean, you have to fuel the...
water it. You have
yeah.
to, you, if you're, you know, if you're talking of powering our whole entire civilization and China and Europe and the Middle East, then you have to grow a lot of it. And if you're going to grow a lot of it, then you need, like, tractors, well, and you need irrigation.
See, I don't believe
need,
we're
like,
going to break through to cold fusion in the next 10 years because it's too science fiction, it's too big of a break from where we're at.
Yeah, it must be too big.
But I think if we can do the flex.
God damn it! You better come through on that one. Man.
Well, I think if we can do the flex fuel thing for 10 years to get us another 10 years down the road, maybe we'll be in a place where we could approach
okay,
the
look,
cold
they're
fusion.
Growing corn now, and like tortilla prices go up in Mexico City. It's like there's not enough land to power what we have now and eat. It's just if there's people, I haven't done it, but there's people who have done those computations. I mean, if you just look at arable land, okay, you can't do it in the desert. You know, there's not enough water. I mean, the water sources are like drying
up. How about
up.
recycled refuse? Coal, and then plant biomasses. How much trash do we read? No, I don't know.
To cling to this idea of our civilization now is continuing on forever. Why? I ask you, why do you cling to this idea that we can just continue this civilization on, or that we should continue this civilization on? I mean, that's the opposite question.
Personally, we already answered that. We don't want to starve to death.
Well, no, we don't want to starve to death, but do we want to, like, keep burning hydrocarbons so that the temperature of the Earth, like, increases 20 degrees, and then we can't...
This is the thing
that's
so
weird about... And then you can't grow anything, because the whole climate's fucked up.
3,000 environmental scientists just got together and signed a manifesto saying that the hydrocarbons we're putting into the atmosphere are not producing global warming, that we're going through natural cycles, and that it's actually we're going to be start moving into a cooling period pretty soon. They're also saying that the amount of hydrocarbons we're putting into the atmosphere are feeding plants which produce oxygen, which so we're actually upping our ability to grow crops and oxygenate the planet. 3,000 environmental scientists just signed a manifesto. They're so pissed off over the what they call the myth of the humans, you know, producing global warming. How do you trust any information at all anymore?
Well, let's look at the effects. We've got glaciers melting all over. We've got the polar caps
breaking up. They don't deny that the climate is changing.
The ocean temperature's warming. We have algae blooms due to higher water temperatures. We have more severe weather events.
Yeah,
now,
no,
there
not,
are cycles, but that, there's feedback mechanisms and forcing mechanisms.
Right.
You can have a spring going back
and forth. As a mathematician, this all is very logical to you. It makes sense, and so you're totally hypnotized to believe that it's got to be true because it absolutely is logical and makes sense, and it can't possibly be wrong.
Well, I'm just looking at the glaciers melting, and I just went through the list of all these things, right? So that's like the effects of what's happening. Is that cooling or is that warming?
Oh, yeah, no, we're in a warming period.
Okay, so if we have cycles of things, and we've had ice ages, we'd have warming periods, then we look at, well, is this warming period different than others? And we have things that, well, when we take measurements, things are happening faster than before. Things are changing faster than before. We have this speed up thing that's occurring there.
Living, what do you say, 100 years every year now? Or?
Yeah, 200 years every 12 months.
That's how fast things are changing.
Well, you know, but it's like when people say natural cycles of things, yeah, but humans affect the environment as a forcing mechanism. So if you have a spring going up and down, that's akin to saying, well, I'm going to push this spring down, and it's going to go down further and up further and down further and up further. So it pushes over, you know, our effects can affect the natural rhythms.
Yeah, we're changing the equilibrium, the balance. The homeostasis.
I guess maybe, yeah. I don't know. But I don't know if that's describing it. But, it, you know, if you believe that humans are affecting the environment or you don't, all you got to do is look at the effects and say, okay, well, if all of this is happening, if water sources are drying up all over, the glaciers are melting,
you know, Bob had a theory. I don't know if you heard Bob say this. It's actually interesting to consider. You attributed global warming to the fact that
the electric effect, yeah.
The fact that
I'll say it. The speed up. 12.
The chemicals and the nanotechnologies and all the biological agents we've put on, that's like layering technology onto our environment.
No, but the essential speed up, we live 200 years every 12 months in second nature. There is a communication between second nature and first nature, and first nature is watching and interacting with what we create, and it starts living 200 years every 12 months. So that means it goes through the four seasons in 16 weeks, say. So that's why in February, we think, oh, it's winter here in North America. But in the cycle of first nature trying to keep up with second nature, it's summer of the first phase of 16-week
years. Why would you assume that first nature's trying to keep up?
Well, I cheated, and everyone said they do that.
Okay.
I cheat, and then I go find out God what the deal is.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, no, it's interesting.
I don't know
that
about that.
No,
that,
no.
I'm a little unclear on that
one. Of course, you didn't cheat. You don't have the context, but I knew, and I was allowed to be told. The thing is that second nature, there's a dialogue between what we're making and first nature. That's what's interesting. There's communication back and forth. And we're actually creating such an overpowering environment that first nature, quote, is getting confused and is trying to keep up. And so that's why you have winter in July, because it's actually the third time through the year, the four seasons from first nature's point of view. You see what I mean? It says the four seasons, which
would be... Hey, Bob.
The Evergreens actually said that's what's going on, which is interesting. And we think it's global warming or global... No, it's the cycles happening faster in first nature. So according to our calendar, it's July, it should be hot. But it's the third time through for First Nature in that 12-month period. And that's why it's chaotic. It's odd all over the place. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
That's what I like about the Evergreens. They give you an interesting thing.
We do Spock. Fascinating.
Is that what he did?
Yeah. I never saw much of the show.
Oh, God.
You guys do your... That's your... That's the modern math. That's the modern alphabet for people. They do... They quote something. You don't quote Shakespeare. You quote a gesture by Spock,
right,
which was revved into you for years as a kid. Or whenever you watched it. So math has to be
that's
math.
That's not the void you're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. You should do that in your math class.
I do it.
That's not the calculus you're looking for. Not the algebra. So I talked to the Evergreens about this, and they went through, they showed Michael gets impressions. And he woke up, and I don't remember, I think we were doing LaRouche geometry. And Michael said, in his dream state, he said, I saw Socrates' time, that period, and some Greek guy was explaining, you know, Euclid's theories or whatever they are, that geometry, the geometry and math of that period. And he said, it was really funny. There were all the people in their Greek robes, totally puzzled, trying to figure out what the guy was talking about. And he said, just like today, we look at what computers can do, and we get totally puzzled trying to see what the computers can do. But they, everyone said that the math that LaRouche is trying to retrieve or correct or update is nowhere near what we can do with computers. He's operating in an old literate chemical body zone, and it's actually the new math that's being done by the machine, and we know how it's done, or we learn from it. That's what you were talking about, computer modeling. And the Evergreen saw this like 15 years ago. That's the way math is going. The machine is going to be mainly the generator, and we're going to kind of try to keep up with what it's showing us. So that's what I say. How do you teach that? How do you teach
by
that?
By process. By just, you know, by looking at the process.
And then I would say, what is the function of number? And on my chart, I got 8, 12, or 8, 14, 22, and 7.
Because we still got to measure things.
Right.
We're
going
to have cold numbers, I need to measure the energy coming out.
Yeah,
I need to measure...
That's not what I mean. I'm bringing another idea. My 22 does not mean the 22nd numeral. It means a relationship between two twos. It's symbolic. So I use the old algebraic calculus terms as symbolic icons that we project weird fractals into or weird imaginations.
Somebody's coming down here. I'm not going to be able to...
Well, they can't make it anywhere. There's no place to go.
Yeah, let them fucking try to figure it out. Here comes Charles. Here he is.
Hey!
Hey! Now, you didn't bring the LaRouche up. Shall we go up in the room or
no,
we're talking
about?
No. I have to.
What I got to do is I got to pull out the duplicates and then decide I can't give away
right.
originals.
Does that take long to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to be here a while, right?
Okay.
So, who's here?
Okay, this is...
Robin?
I met Robin through Jerry.
Hey, Charles, Scott.
Jerry,
you know
where?
Scott. Remember
Scott?
Scott.
You remember me.
Here, sit in the
probably
front.
Need some light.
Is this being taped?
No. Oh, yes, actually, he's got it. If you don't want a tape, we'll turn it off.
Turn it up.
Turn it up. Oh, Charles is going to pontificate.
Absolutely.
So, Charles, you remember Scott?
Hi, Charles.
Yeah, hi, Scott.